Speaker 1.
I always look forward to the first snow of the season. I love waking up in the morning to the entire town covered in white. It looks so peaceful and it sounds extraordinarily quiet. I think that's because the snow absorbs a lot of the noise. But of course, it never lasts long. The first cars start driving along the streets and people start walking about, and that pristine, perfect whiteness turns into muddy slush, which needs to be shoveled off our drive and kept out of the house. And when that happens, I just can't wait for it to go away.
Speaker 2.
I've never been very keen on cold weather. I know it's odd, considering that I live in Canada and spend practically every weekend in winter outside racing down mountain slopes. But that's different. Skiing is such a thrill and such a great workout that you really don't feel the cold while you're doing it. Only when you're sitting on the chairlift, heading up to do another run. What I really dislike about the cold is having to put on and take off so many layers just to get from the house to the car and from the car to the office. But at 20 degrees below, I have no choice.
Speaker 3.
I know some people think that living in a place with snowy winters means a lot of hard work, keeping the house warm, the roads clear, and they'd prefer somewhere where the weather is warm all year round. But to be honest, I think that being able to enjoy the differences between seasons makes all the extra work and effort that winter brings worthwhile. Actually, although most people tend not to go out much during the winter months, I'm the opposite. I love being outside, with a good warm coat on, clearing the path in front of the house. It's a great workout.
Speaker 4.
I find I do my best work in winter. I'm not at all keen on the cold weather or dealing with the snow and the storms, so that gives me the perfect excuse to stay inside most of the time and focus on my work. I'm a writer, you see, so when I don't have the distractions and temptations of nice, warm, sunny weather, I can stop thinking about going outside and devote my full attention to my writing. My publisher says winter is her favourite season because it's when I usually finish my books and meet all my deadlines.
Speaker 5.
I grew up on a tropical island, and so I'd never seen snow until I moved to New England for my job about 10 years ago. So, when I saw snow for the first time, I was like a little kid, rolling around in it, making snowmen and snow angels, or just having snowball fights with anyone who was willing. 10 years later, I'm just as crazy about snow as I was on that first day. I still love to go out whenever there's a fresh snowfall, and I still have great fun playing in it. People around here think I'm a little odd for making such a big deal out of something as normal or even as inconvenient as snow, but I just adore it.
Now you will hear part 3 again. Speaker 1.
I always look forward to the first snow of the season. I love waking up in the morning to the entire town covered in white. It looks so peaceful and it sounds extraordinarily quiet. I think that's because the snow absorbs a lot of the noise. But of course, it never lasts long. The first cars start driving along the streets and people start walking about, and that pristine, perfect whiteness turns into muddy slush, which needs to be shoveled off our drive and kept out of the house. And when that happens, I just can't wait for it to go away.
Speaker 2.
I've never been very keen on cold weather. I know it's odd, considering that I live in Canada and spend practically every weekend in winter outside racing down mountain slopes. But that's different. Skiing is such a thrill and such a great workout that you really don't feel the cold while you're doing it. Only when you're sitting on the chairlift, heading up to do another run. What I really dislike about the cold is having to put on and take off so many layers just to get from the house to the car and from the car to the office. But at 20 degrees below, I have no choice.
Speaker 3.
I know some people think that living in a place with snowy winters means a lot of hard work, keeping the house warm, the roads clear, and they'd prefer somewhere where the weather is warm all year round. But to be honest, I think that being able to enjoy the differences between seasons makes all the extra work and effort that winter brings worthwhile. Actually, although most people tend not to go out much during the winter months, I'm the opposite. I love being outside, with a good warm coat on, clearing the path in front of the house. It's a great workout.
Speaker 4.
I find I do my best work in winter. I'm not at all keen on the cold weather or dealing with the snow and the storms, so that gives me the perfect excuse to stay inside most of the time and focus on my work. I'm a writer, you see, so when I don't have the distractions and temptations of nice, warm, sunny weather, I can stop thinking about going outside and devote my full attention to my writing. My publisher says winter is her favourite season because it's when I usually finish my books and meet all my deadlines.
Speaker 5.
I grew up on a tropical island, and so I'd never seen snow until I moved to New England for my job about 10 years ago. So, when I saw snow for the first time, I was like a little kid, rolling around in it, making snowmen and snow angels, or just having snowball fights with anyone who was willing. 10 years later, I'm just as crazy about snow as I was on that first day. I still love to go out whenever there's a fresh snowfall, and I still have great fun playing in it. People around here think I'm a little odd for making such a big deal out of something as normal or even as inconvenient as snow, but I just adore it.
That is the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4. You will hear part of a radio interview with a man called Luke Madison, a personal trainer who created a special training program. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer, A, B, or C. You now have 1 minute to look at part 4.
Welcome to Interesting People in the Morning. I'm Diane Green, and today's guest is Luke Madison, well-known author and personal trainer. Luke is going to talk to us this morning about his special training program, which many of you will have heard of, Paleo Living. Good morning and welcome to the show, Luke. So what can you tell us about Paleo Living?
Hi, Diane, and thanks for having me on the show. Well, I don't really think of Paleo Living as a special training program. I think of it more like a lifestyle, and I would hardly claim it's mine. What I mean is, I can't claim to have invented it.
What do you mean exactly? Weren't you the one who designed it?
Well, not really. It's true I did write a book explaining all about the lifestyle, but in reality, all I did was think back to when human beings formed part of the natural world in the Paleolithic age, and suggest we go back to that way of life and those eating habits.
What kinds of things do you mean?
Oh, in general, they're simple things. For example, back then, there were no cars or buses, or even bicycles. In fact, that far back, humans didn't even ride animals to get from A to B. No, when they wanted to go from one place to another, they walked or ran. And as they had to carry everything they needed themselves, they generally traveled light, as you can imagine.
I see. But now we do have cars and bicycles, and we no longer use animals as our main means of transport. Are you really suggesting we should give all that progress up?
I'm glad you asked. And the answer is, yes, I am. We should go back to walking and running because that's what the human body has evolved to do and is most adapted to. You see, humans were hunter-gatherers, and as such, they were constantly on the move. If you wanted to eat and survive, you had to hunt. And unfortunately, animals didn't just hang around waiting to be hunted. You had to go after them. Gathering was the same. You couldn't just collect food on your doorstep. You had to cover huge expanses and distances, so there would be enough. Enough quantity and enough variety.
Okay, but we no longer have to survive by hunting and gathering. In fact, most of us don't even visit farms or have the space for a vegetable garden. We hunt and gather our food in the supermarket.
And that's the problem, Diane. In our society, most of us have desk jobs or jobs where the amount and variety of movement is minimal. There are practically no jobs that require a level of activity comparable to what hunter-gatherers used to do on a regular basis. This is where all our backaches come from, not to mention weight problems and even some illnesses like diabetes.
Are you trying to say that we should all turn into hunters and gatherers?
It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for our health, but no, that's not at all what I'm suggesting. I do, however, advocate that people should be more active. And here's where the paleo training kicks in. You see, a lot of people go to the gym and lift weights or do hours of cardio workouts. This is unnatural, and as a result, our bodies don't take to it very well. When you think of exercising, you should simply try to replicate the activities that our Paleolithic ancestors used to do. For instance, if you need to go grocery shopping, walk to the supermarket. But don't choose the supermarket around the corner. Go to the one on the other side of town instead. Walk at a good, steady pace. Don't just take a stroll. And only buy what you yourself can carry back home. This way, you're getting a combination of a healthy cardio workout along with some strength training as well. And you're doing it in a balanced way, not aiming at developing one muscle group only.
That sounds easy enough. Is that all?
No, that's only one aspect of paleo living. In addition to moving like we used to, we need to eat like we used to as well.
Is that what you call the paleo diet?
Yeah, that's right. The paleo diet consists of eating only those foods that would have been available to our ancestors. This means that we should do without all processed food. This includes all sugar, especially refined sugar. Honey is okay, although it wasn't exactly in plentiful supply back then either. Also, there would have been little salt available, so while we can still include salt in our diet, we should really use it sparingly. And most important, although probably the hardest one to follow, we really shouldn't eat bread or any products with flour in them. Some grains might have been eaten after boiling or grinding by hand, but never in the kind of amounts we eat them in today. Neither should we eat dairy products, as we wouldn't have domesticated animals back then.
So what can we eat?
Well, we can eat vegetables and roots, fruit, of course, and meat, especially lean meat. The free-ranging animals that they hunted in those times would seldom have had large quantities of fat on them, as they too were struggling for survival. So the meat that our ancestors ate wouldn't have contained a lot of fat. Having said that, fat is necessary for our health, and so when an animal was killed that had a nice thick layer of fat on it, it would have been eaten with delight. It would have been a real treat. Apart from this, I'd recommend nuts and berries, which not only add lots of flavor to our meals, but are high in nutritional value as well.
It definitely sounds like good advice to me. Thank you, Luke, for coming onto the show this morning and sharing your Paleo Living program with us. And now?
Now you will hear part four again.
Welcome to Interesting People in the Morning. I'm Diane Green, and today's guest is Luke Madison, well-known author and personal trainer. Luke is going to talk to us this morning about his special training program, which many of you will have heard of, Paleo Living. Good morning and welcome to the show, Luke. So what can you tell us about Paleo Living?
Hi, Diane, and thanks for having me on the show. Well, I don't really think of Paleo Living as a special training program. I think of it more like a lifestyle, and I would hardly claim it's mine. What I mean is, I can't claim to have invented it.
What do you mean exactly? Weren't you the one who designed it?
Well, not really. It's true I did write a book explaining all about the lifestyle, but in reality, all I did was think back to when human beings formed part of the natural world in the Paleolithic age, and suggest we go back to that way of life and those eating habits.
What kinds of things do you mean?
Oh, in general, they're simple things. For example, back then, there were no cars or buses, or even bicycles. In fact, that far back, humans didn't even ride animals to get from A to B. No, when they wanted to go from one place to another, they walked or ran. And as they had to carry everything they needed themselves, they generally traveled light, as you can imagine.
I see. But now we do have cars and bicycles, and we no longer use animals as our main means of transport. Are you really suggesting we should give all that progress up?
I'm glad you asked. And the answer is, yes, I am. We should go back to walking and running because that's what the human body has evolved to do and is most adapted to. You see, humans were hunter-gatherers, and as such, they were constantly on the move. If you wanted to eat and survive, you had to hunt. And unfortunately, animals didn't just hang around waiting to be hunted. You had to go after them. Gathering was the same. You couldn't just collect food on your doorstep. You had to cover huge expanses and distances, so there would be enough. Enough quantity and enough variety.
Okay, but we no longer have to survive by hunting and gathering. In fact, most of us don't even visit farms or have the space for a vegetable garden. We hunt and gather our food in the supermarket.
And that's the problem, Diane. In our society, most of us have desk jobs or jobs where the amount and variety of movement is minimal. There are practically no jobs that require a level of activity comparable to what hunter-gatherers used to do on a regular basis. This is where all our backaches come from, not to mention weight problems and even some illnesses like diabetes.
Are you trying to say that we should all turn into hunters and gatherers?
It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for our health, but no, that's not at all what I'm suggesting. I do, however, advocate that people should be more active. And here's where the paleo training kicks in. You see, a lot of people go to the gym and lift weights or do hours of cardio workouts. This is unnatural, and as a result, our bodies don't take to it very well. When you think of exercising, you should simply try to replicate the activities that our Paleolithic ancestors used to do. For instance, if you need to go grocery shopping, walk to the supermarket. But don't choose the supermarket around the corner. Go to the one on the other side of town instead. Walk at a good, steady pace. Don't just take a stroll. And only buy what you yourself can carry back home. This way, you're getting a combination of a healthy cardio workout along with some strength training as well. And you're doing it in a balanced way, not aiming at developing one muscle group only.
That sounds easy enough. Is that all?
No, that's only one aspect of paleo living. In addition to moving like we used to, we need to eat like we used to as well.
Is that what you call the paleo diet?
Yeah, that's right. The paleo diet consists of eating only those foods that would have been available to our ancestors. This means that we should do without all processed food. This includes all sugar, especially refined sugar. Honey is okay, although it wasn't exactly in plentiful supply back then either. Also, there would have been little salt available, so while we can still include salt in our diet, we should really use it sparingly. And most important, although probably the hardest one to follow, we really shouldn't eat bread or any products with flour in them. Some grains might have been eaten after boiling or grinding by hand, but never in the kind of amounts we eat them in today. Neither should we eat dairy products, as we wouldn't have domesticated animals back then.
So what can we eat?
Well, we can eat vegetables and roots, fruit, of course, and meat, especially lean meat. The free-ranging animals that they hunted in those times would seldom have had large quantities of fat on them, as they too were struggling for survival. So the meat that our ancestors ate wouldn't have contained a lot of fat. Having said that, fat is necessary for our health, and so when an animal was killed that had a nice thick layer of fat on it, it would have been eaten with delight. It would have been a real treat. Apart from this, I'd recommend nuts and berries, which not only add lots of flavor to our meals, but are high in nutritional value as well.
It definitely sounds like good advice to me. Thank you, Luke, for coming onto the show this morning and sharing your Paleo Living program with us. And now?
That is the end of part 4. There will now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all the questions. I shall remind you when there is 1 minute left so that you are sure to finish in time. You have one more minute left. That is the end of the test. Please stop now. Your supervisor will now collect all the question papers and answer sheets.